September's memory verse is one that could make a big difference in your life. I hope you're working on it. Hope you're getting it into your heart and into your mind. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." It was one of those verses that I had read lots and lots of times, but I had never really focused on it until I was laying in a hospital bed getting ready to go into surgery. And someone gave me just a little piece of paper with this scripture written on it. I read it, and all of a sudden, the message of that verse became real to me. That verse was for me on that particular day at that particular time. It's not like I was scared, but I guess I was a little more nervous than I thought that I was. This was new territory for me. I had never been in the bed before. I had always been the one standing beside the bed, trying to give encouragement and comfort to the person who was getting ready for surgery. This time, I was the one in the breezy hospital gown. And I was the one getting poked on and getting ready to go under the anesthesia. So this verse really was a comforting verse to me. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. The New American Standard Bible says it this way: "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God." You know, it's pretty easy for us to be overtaken by fear and anxiety. And so, for these next two Sundays, because of that being easy for us to fall into those two things, fear and anxiety, the next two Sundays, I am going to tackle those two topics head on. How to overcome fear and how to overcome worry. And I think Jesus is saying to us, follow me and I will help you overcome fear and worry. It's interesting to me that the first time that fear shows up in the scripture is in the Garden of Eden. And that tells me that it has been a tool of the enemy for a long, long time. It really is one of his go-to pieces of arsenal against us. If he can get us to overcome, if he can get us to be overcome by fear, then our relationship with God is going to be greatly affected. Going back to Genesis 3, Adam and Eve, they had just sinned by eating the forbidden fruit. And wouldn't you know it, that's exactly the time when God came walking in the garden. Do you remember what they did? They heard him coming, and so they hid from God. "Where are you?" God called. Genesis 3:10 says, quoting Adam, he says, I heard you walking in the garden and I was afraid, so I hid." The very first game of hide and seek, Nathan just talked to us in the communion meditation about how God is coming to us. He's pursuing us. His arms are open to us. And that is exactly what we see in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve have sinned. They are hiding from God. They are fearful. And God comes looking for them. God already knew what Adam and Eve had done. He already had a plan in place to redeem man. And so he came looking for him. Adam and Eve were the first of many to deal with fear. I don't suppose that there's ever been a person walk the face of this earth that didn't have to deal with the temptation of being afraid. Jesus himself dealt with this temptation to be afraid. The difference is he overcame that temptation, and oftentimes we don't. What is it that we're afraid of? Oh, all kinds of things. You heard about the little boy that was afraid of the dark. One night his mother asked him to go out to the porch and get the broom. And the little boy said, "Mama, I don't want to go out there. It's dark." The mother smiled reassuringly to her son. She said, "You don't have to be afraid of the dark. Jesus is out there. He'll look after you and protect you." And the little boy said, "Are you sure Jesus is out there?" The mother answered, "Yes, I'm sure. He's everywhere, and he's always ready to help you when you need him." The little boy went to the back door. He cracked that door just a little bit. He peered out into the darkness, and he said, "Jesus, if you're out there, would you please hand me the broom?" You know, we all have our fears. And those fears can be paralyzing to us. The video song that was played earlier, "Fear is a Liar," it portrays the truth of this, that fear can be paralyzing to us. Some fear not having the money they need to pay the bills. And they see the price of everything going up, while their income is staying the same. In fact, just this month, Cindy and I were noticing our water bill and our electric bill have just gone through the roof, more so than any other month. And I'm assuming that's going to be a pattern. And I know that you can relate with what I'm saying, and that sometimes that's a fear that we have to deal with. How far is the money able to stretch? Some fear what the end result of their 401k is going to be as they see the stock market tumbling, and they wonder, will I have enough money there for retirement? Some fear what the diagnosis from the doctor might be. What if he tells me that I have cancer? Who of us here have not had that scenario run through our mind? It can be a fearful thing for our minds to dwell on that. Some fear about the future of their marriage or the future of their kids. What if things don't work out? What if my children rebel and start running with the wrong crowd? It's easy for us to get comfortable, isn't it? And so the thought of stepping out of our comfort zone and trying something new brings fear to us. We'd rather just stay put, even if that means staying in a rut. We fear change. A lot of us do. A lot of people were absolutely terrorized with the fear of the coronavirus. And then there's the fear of death that we all have to deal with. We either are overcome by that fear or we face it. We overcome that fear. Some people will do anything to keep from dying. Are you familiar with this term, cryogenics? It's the process of freezing oneself in a vat of liquid nitrogen at the moment of death in hope that being brought back to life in the future when the future medical research is more advanced. Worldwide, I read about this just recently. Worldwide, about 350 people are already frozen, and another 2,000 are signed up to become so when it's the right time. I'd venture to say the reason behind that is people are afraid to die. Satan wants to terrorize us with fear to the point that we can't function in our life. Do you know that we are told in Scripture not to be afraid 365 times? one scripture for every day of the year. I don't think that is coincidental. God knew the battle that we would be fighting, this battle with fear, and he wanted to help us in fighting that battle. And so let me give to you some practical ways this morning in overcoming fear. And the first thing would be simply this: remember God is with you. Going back to our memory verse for the month of September, from Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for what? I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The key is to remember who is with us. God is with us. The God of this universe, the Creator, the great I Am, the one who told the Red Sea to part its waters, and that is exactly what happened. The one who told the sun to stand still as Joshua was fighting in the valley below, and the sun obeyed his voice. This same God who was with Moses and David as he fought the giant, this same God who was with Joshua as he circled the city of Jericho, this same God who was with Daniel in the lion's den, this same God is with you and me as we face our own challenges and fears. Whatever those challenges are, we need to remember that God is with us. And that should be more than enough to calm our fears. I was reading from Dr. Jeremiah about this very topic, and this is what he has to say. Dietrich Ritschl, for example, told of an experience when his German city was bombed in 1944. Thousands of people were killed. After the bombing, Dietrich was lying in the railroad station looking up through the partially destroyed roof at the fires burning all over the city. He caught a glimpse of an inscription atop one of the remaining sections of the ceiling, and the inscription said in German, quote, "Beyond the stars there must be a gracious Father," unquote. He said, "I do not want such a God. I do not want a God who is beyond the stars. I want a God who is here, a God who is present, a God who is available, a God who knows and understands my situation." Hallelujah, that's the kind of God we have. He is with us. And he will uphold us with his righteous right hand. We just need to reach out to him and hold on to him. We need to let him fight the battle for us. We just sang a song about that. We need to live the words of that song out. Remember that God is with us. Let me give to you a second way to overcome fear, and all of these go hand in hand. Remember to keep your focus on Him rather than on what's causing your fear. I'm sure you remember the story of Jesus walking on the water. Matthew chapter 14 says that the boat was being battered by the wind and the waves. It says the wind was contrary. The word contrary means to be against. The wind was against them. The wind was hostile to them who were in the boat. And then Jesus came walking on the water. At first they thought he was a ghost. They were afraid. Jesus said, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." And that's when Peter asked if he could come join Jesus on the water. And Jesus said, "Yes, come on, Peter." And so out of the boat, Peter stepped. And for a little bit, he walked on the water. The scripture says, though, that he took his eyes off of Jesus. And instead, he was looking at the water. He was looking at the waves, the wind. He was feeling it, and that's where his focus was detoured. And that's when he became afraid and he sank like a rock. When we are tempted to be fearful, we need to keep our eyes, we need to keep our focus on him. It's easy, though, to focus on the circumstances, isn't it? Let me read you another piece that illustrates that so well. For a concert violinist, strength is four finely tuned strings. The absence of a string would put most violinists in a position of weakness. But Israeli-American violinist Itzhak Perlman is not most violinist. And Perlman knows something about weakness to begin with. Afflicted with polio as a child, he wears braces on both legs and walks with the help of crutches. Getting on stage and seated for a concert is no small matter. One evening in 1995, while performing with an orchestra in New York City, one of the strings on his violin broke and hung limp off the side of the instrument. The loud snap ricocheted through the hall. It was obvious to everyone what had just happened. The audience, as well as the conductor and orchestra, assumed they would pause the concert while Perlman repaired or replaced his instrument. Instead, the great violinist closed his eyes for a moment while the audience waited in silence, then motioned to the conductor to begin the piece again. What would be impossible for all but a few human beings, playing a violin concert with four good strings was translated into something perhaps no one else could have done, play the same concert with only three strings. As he played, in his mind, Perlman was adjusting, recomposing, innovating, and performing on the fly, turning a position of weakness into a performance of strength. Wow. That's what God wants us to do. In our position of weakness, we need to focus on Him, and He is able to turn our weakness into strength. He is able to take our fears and turn them into victory for us. It's a choice that we make. Please understand this truth. Hear me say this. We choose to trust Him. Isn't that what Psalms 23, verse 4 says from the King James Version? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The New Living Translation says it this way, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. I want you to notice the words, I will not be afraid. It's a choice that we make. Rather than focus on the wind and the waves, we're choosing to focus on Him. Isaiah 56:3 says, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. Isaiah 12:2 says something very similar. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Again, it's a choice that we make to put our trust in Him. He is our strength and our song. So we remember who's with us. We choose to put our focus on Him rather than on the circumstances that are causing us fear. Here's a third way. You want to overcome fear? Remember God's promises. And here's just a sampling of those promises. Luke 1:37 says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Matthew 17:20 says, "For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." 1 John 5:4 says, "For everyone who is born of God," what? "Overcomes the world." And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. I'll give you one more promise. 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." Why should we fear when we have promises like that that are given to us? And keep in mind, every promise is backed up by one who is able to deliver. You think about that. Sometimes a person may give you a promise and they're not able to deliver on the promise. But God is one who is able to deliver on every promise. He has never broken a promise. He has a perfect record. And we can count on Him. We can know that His promises are true. And that's why it's so important that we grab hold of those promises that He's given to us, that we put them in our heart and in our mind. We need to give our fears to Him. I need to give my fears to Him and trust in His promises to be true. And there's one other thing that we need to do in overcoming fear. Number four, confess our sin of fear to Him and ask Him for forgiveness. Our fear is a doubt in Him and His ability to keep His promises. When we fear, we are doubting His ability to uphold us with His righteous right hand. If I could put my finger on two things that seem to get Jesus' dander up more than anything else when He was here on this earth, you know what those two things would be? One would be hypocrisy, particularly hypocrisy of the Pharisees. But the second thing that seemed to get His dander up more than anything else, quicker than anything else, was the lack of faith of His disciples. How many times did He say to them, "Why are you doubting? Where is your faith? O ye of little faith." We need to confess our sin of fear to Him and ask Him to forgive us. And praise the Lord, He will. He will forgive us. He will wash us clean. 1 John 1:9 is another promise that we need to grab a hold of. It says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I want to ask you, are you giving in to fear? If you are, then it's time to get on your knees. Surrender your fear to Him and be cleansed. And as you do that, you will experience true freedom. For when the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, You are the God of gods. You are the Lord of lords. You are the one who has the universe in Your hands. And You have our lives in Your hands. We praise you for being that kind of God. And whatever challenges we face, whatever it is that we are tempted to be afraid of, Lord, we know that you are bigger, you are greater, you are stronger. And so help us to give our fears to you. Help us to become people of faith, more than people of fear. Forgive us. Forgive me for sometimes being afraid when I know that you are with me. Forgive me, Lord, for lack of faith. And thank you for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.